In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The good wine has been kept until now. The hour has come when the fallen booth of David is raised and its breaches are walled up. Ruined cities are rebuilt as in the days of old. For this is the day when the mountains drip sweet wine. This is the day when the captivity of the people of Israel is restored. The Messiah is come to be married to his people. This is his marriage to the church, his marriage to you. And like any marriage, the finest wine is provided. Your own planning, merits, and works wouldn't be good enough. We complain and argue, fight and fuss. Husbands and wives are set against each other. The wine runs out as creation dries up. It's no good. It's an embarrassment. Is this the curse of God upon you? Is this the curse of God upon creation? In some sense, yes, of course it is. The creation is broken and dying. Creation is cursed, doomed to die from the moment Adam, that bridegroom in the garden, failed to act, failed to speak, failed to defend his bride, and allowed her to eat the forbidden fruit. From that moment on, husbands and wives have been set against each other, the marital relationship twisted, ruined, and destroyed, just like everything else sin touches. And don't think yourself somehow free of this taint if you're not married. Just as sin taints the relationship between husband and wife, it taints the relationship between parent and child. Father and son, mother and daughter, brother and sister, siblings and friends, neighbors. There is no relationship in your life that is untainted by sin, that has been left alone, that is left pure and untouched, that is as God intended it to be. It's fallen, and its walls have been breached. And behold, the Lord, the ruler, hath come, and the power and the glory and the kingdom are in his hand. And today is his wedding feast as he brings the good wine of his own blood for your sake. For at his word, regular average wine becomes the richest drink you've ever tasted. The blood of your redemption poured out for you and for the life of the world upon the holy cross. Drink and be satisfied. Drink and be quenched. Drink and live. This blood poured out reconciles you to the Father, raises up your fallen booth, walls up your breaches, rebuilds your ruins. For this bridegroom is not idle. He's not inactive. This bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, does for his bride, he does for you, what Adam failed to do for Eve. He meets the accusations of the enemy head on in his own body. Satan comes and tries to seduce you with lies and temptations, and Jesus stomps on his head and cries out, "Quiet! Thus saith the Lord, be gone." You are protected and defended. The best liars, of course, always mix a bit of the truth with their lies. That's what makes them so believable. Look what Satan did in the garden. He began with the base premise that God spoke a word concerning the trees, and then he simply asked a question, introducing a bit of doubt about it. Did God really say this? He does it also in our Lord's temptation, which we'll hear not too many weeks from now. At his baptism, the Father declared for all to hear that Jesus is his beloved Son. So Satan tries to twist that. If you are the Son of God, yet Jesus, the great good shepherd, high priest, and eternal bishop, says, "Be silent. Thus saith the Lord, be gone." Your bridegroom does for you what every husband must do for his wife, what every husband and father must do for his family. He meets the attack head on in himself. He lays down his own life for their sake. He dies that they go free. Jesus gives his life for his bride, and from his side flow water and blood, the holy sacraments by which she is cleansed and made one with him. Eve is taken from the side of Adam in his rib, but the holy Christian church is taken from the side of Jesus Christ in the blood and water of holy baptism and the holy communion. This is the good wine given now. This is the good wine given to you. Many kings and prophets desired to receive what you receive and did not receive it. They desired to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Blessed are you, for to this hour, for your sake, the bridegroom Jesus comes. It's for them too that he comes, but they received him in type, in shadow, and in promise. You receive him in word, in fact, and in fulfillment. You receive him clearly. Your bridegroom bears in himself your sins, all those things that separate you from God, that separate you from one another, those struggles at home or at work, Jesus takes upon himself. And they are nailed through in him to the cross and left dead in the dust of the grave with the shroud. They are no more. Your great and glorious bridegroom lives again, and he raises you up in himself in holy baptism. This is the promise to the house of David fulfilled. The hour has come. The mountains drip sweet wine in the blood of Jesus Christ in the Holy Communion. The fallen booth of David is raised up, and its breaches are walled up in the forgiveness of your sins, as you are clothed in the wedding garment of Christ's righteousness in holy baptism. Your captivity is restored and the ruined cities rebuilt, that you may live in them, as you are called and gathered here in his holy Christian church, that you may in this very place receive his word and holy sacraments, his marriage gift of love to you, that you may eat and drink your sins away. The sacrificial system, the tabernacle, temple, and synagogue liturgies all pointed to the coming of the great bridegroom, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Men were saved not by works of the law, but by the gifts God gave through his Old Testament means of grace, through faith in the coming Messiah. And the hour has now come, when the old wine is used up and is no more. The new wine, the good wine, is come. The good wine is what is now given to you. The wine of clarity and of truth. The wine of fulfillment. The wine of reconciliation and forgiveness. It's the blood of Jesus Christ running down the hill of Golgotha into the chalice and into your mouth, that you may be restored to far better than what was lost by Adam and Eve. If the wine that Jesus provided at Cana of Galilee was far better than what was drunk up, then what Jesus makes you to be in the Holy Communion, what Jesus makes you to be in holy baptism and by the forgiveness of your sins, is far better than what was lost by Adam and Eve. In Christ, you are as he intended you to be from before the fall. You are made in Jesus to be truly and really human. You're enabled to be kindly affectionate to one another in a sacrificial giving of yourself for them. Christ loves you even unto the end of his own life upon the cross and into eternity at the Father's right hand, expecting nothing in return from you. And now you love one another with the same kind of love. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, your husbands. Parents, your children. Children, your parents. Siblings, one another. Friends and neighbors, with no expectation of gain. No matter your vocation, no matter your station in life, love freely as God loves you, sacrificially. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Love genuinely. Love as God in Christ loves you. For love covers a multitude of sins. This is why you're here this morning. That's why you come during the course of the week. That's why you come for special divine services. You come for the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, a foretaste of that feast which will know no end, of the day for which we still long and wait for. You come for the love of the bridegroom, given in the good wine of his blood, or in the pouring out of his blood for you in the Holy Communion. The Lord Jesus manifests, he reveals, he epiphanies his glory to you. And you believe in him. This is why the changing of water into wine at Cana of Galilee isn't simply his first sign. And notice that St. John calls it a sign, not a miracle. It's not something out of the ordinary or unexpected for Jesus to do. That God restores creation is simply a statement of fact. What else would he do? And this isn't simply the first in a chronological series of them, but it is, in fact, the primary and foundational one, the one that gives form and substance to all the others, the one that gives form and substance through Jesus' whole life and ministry, even unto the cross itself. It's the restoration of creation by his word according to his grace and mercy, which culminates in the pouring out of his precious blood upon the holy cross for our sake. Behold, today is indeed the third day, and the hour is come. We are called to the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. The bridegroom Jesus Christ is here. He who laid down his life for us in perfect, pure, abiding love, and has kept the good wine which he pours out for us. Come, let us eat and drink with festal songs of joy and thanksgiving. For the Lord reveals himself to us in his body and blood. He makes himself known to us in the Holy Communion, that we may receive him on the last day with joy, expectation, and with longing, as a bride longing for her bridegroom to claim her. So we long for our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, as that day does indeed draw nigh. But while we wait, the good wine kept for us is given to us even now. In Jesus' name.